Vectis Radio. FM 104.6. Bringing the island's community together.
Gladys Knight and the Pips. Come back and finish what you started. I'm being double-teamed this lunchtime. But first of all, let's bring in at this point the legend of the lights. The legend of the Long Lane Lights. The Long Lane legend of the lights. Something like that. I think that should be that should be your title from now on. Terry Ramplin, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm glad Christmas is over now. But yes, it's nice to be back here. And just to say thank you to absolutely everybody what supported the lights this year. Because without all that support, you know, it wouldn't be possible. So it's just absolutely, I can only say a big thank you to all the firms, the companies and all the people what come to see those lights.
Let's just backtrack a little bit. We're talking Long Lane lights. They've been going for 23 years. I bet you, I know the answer already because we've talked about this a little bit, but it was the hardest, obviously because of the times.
This year, absolutely everything. I feel like I'm a little bit like a farmer, always moan about the weather, but we still carry on. But this year, the actual weather to put the lights out, it was raining, I think, nearly from the middle of October, and it just carried on. So to actually put the lights out in any form, to climb on roofs, it was very, very difficult. And then when we did eventually turn the lights on, it all went absolutely well, but it was exactly the same time, the evening, was when Newport put their lights on, so less people come up the hill. And then the follow-on that week, the temperature absolutely fell off the scale. It was -4 at night, -5. And I just absolutely froze night after night. And I watched the people sit in their car, and the odd one got out, but I could understand why they stayed in the car with the heater on, because I thought, that's where I should be.
Yeah, you haven't mentioned the World Cup either.
And that was the next one. The World Cup just about done it. And then it went a little bit milder, and then it just rained and rained and rained.
We haven't mentioned the amount of money yet. I mean, it's been in the news, but we haven't mentioned this lunchtime. Did you ever think that it was going to be a measly amount at some point? But, you know, I thought, crikey, yes, Everything is against us.
Yes, absolutely everything. Yes, and it did start off extremely low because the people, definitely, and I can understand why they didn't get out their little cars, as I say, with the heater going and it was dry. So, you know, I could understand why the numbers or the money that I was receiving was way, way down. And I'd say Vectis decided there no more buses this year past my house because they rerouted their buses. So a lot of things was definitely against me this year, and against the charity, I felt, because I stand there, I still feel when I'm doing it, I'm not just doing it for my own good. This is, you know, over my 23 years, you know, I've raised a lot of money for different charities all on the Isle of Wight. So, yes, so when the result, because I don't know to literally the last few weeks, because I asked for a few donations from different firms and companies, what they're actually going to donate to the charity. And when all the figures come in and the sums was coming in, the numbers just kept increasing to reach the £4,879 what we handed over to Prostate Cancer Support Group.
That is, I mean, that's a fantastic amount, bearing in mind that you were up against it, you know, bearing in mind the time of, it's always the time of year, but the weather was bad, some idiot organised a World Cup, and, you know, financially, everyone was, you know, tight, and you just think, crikey, to come out with almost £5,000, that is incredible. Can I ask you one silly question? Now, obviously, you've had that there printed out for a week or so. Has anybody else, like, donated and sort of said, hey, look, I'll make it up to £5,000, here's a donation?
No.
They haven't?
No.
Maybe if you're listening and you're out there and you've got a spare 111. That's all it would be, £111. Put in £111 and make it up to £5,000. Would that upset the apple cart?
Not really. If it's in an envelope or the way it's done, I just hand it straight over to a prostate cancer support group.
Okay, just tell us. We're going to go over to our other special guest in a moment. Just tell us why.
What, the prostate cancer support group? Well, last year we done two charities. We done Daisy Chain, what we give £2,500 to, and we give £2,500 to prostate cancer support group. And with that money, they put some money to it, and they put an event on in Newport for the first time. And when they did do that event, for 250 men, I think 30 men come back positive. And when I heard that, I thought, for that time and money that I actually give the charity, I thought that is really, really high figures to think you've helped to save 30 men's lives just in Newport.
That's incredible. That is incredible. And I know we spoke about that last year, but let's focus on this year. So almost £5,000, and that's going to go towards... Now, we better bring on our special guest now.
Yes, just Alan.
For the sake of our listeners, just introduce yourself and what you do.
Okay, so my name's Alan Taylor, and I run the PSA testing events, the organiser of the PSA testing events for the Isle of Wight Prostate Cancer Support Group. We run events all over the island, and this year we'll be able to, because of the money that Terry's raised, be able to put another one on in Newport, and this time testing 275 men rather than 250, because a little bit more money there, to help us to do that testing. And if the 11%, which is what we seem to find each time, comes back as usual, then again we're going to be looking at about 30 men again who will have abnormal PSA results and will need some sort of medical follow-up.
Wow. I mean, just thinking about them numbers, because obviously they're increasing, but you're increasing the amount of people that you're now going to be able to screen and so on. I did see a long list of places where you're going to go this year. So, you know, it's not just for Newport. Other people are going to benefit from this as well. I mean, it's a wonderful amount of money. It's a fantastic thing that that Terry's done with the funds. And obviously it's going to be of use. Now, I think we may have touched on this last time, but every time I drive down Gunville Road and look right as I go into the traffic lights, there's a sign up there that says something along the lines of, every certain amount of time, a man will die. And the numbers are high, too high.
Man dying every 45 minutes, 12,000 men dying per year, 50,000 men being diagnosed each year from it. The numbers, unfortunately, are continuing to rise. Unlike the ladies with breast cancer, where they are getting the numbers down, we are not. We are still right. The numbers are still rising. And although a lot of talk about how the benefit of screening nationwide would have on those numbers, there appears to be, at the minute, no government initiative to set this up. So that's why on the Isle of Wight, we run our own type of screening testing effect on various locations. We try to help the guys out as much as possible by travelling around to various locations. This year we're going to 6 of them around the island, and we'll be testing in the region of 1,600 men. We're going to be testing at these locations as well. Well, not each location, the total number for the year. And at 11% of that, we're talking 150, 160 men whose lives we feel we will have a positive impact on.
Wow, that's incredible, thinking about those numbers. And this is all locally. This is all just, absolutely, you know, based on local figures. Let's be honest, if people start talking about national figures, we start getting a bit confused and so on. But this is in our area. The lovely thing to point out is these are funds raised by local people, and these are now local people that are going to benefit from these funds.
Absolutely.
And it may
right.
just save their life. And
absolutely.
That needs thinking about for a while, because I think sometimes we get bogged down with everything else, and this gets sort of shoved under the carpet. Every now and again they get it out and start talking about it, but we don't follow it through. We don't do enough. We don't keep our foot on the gas. I mean, is that fair to say?
We only started doing PSA testing because we initially, as a support group, used to attend shows and carnivals and events around the island and try to encourage men to get themselves tested. And men were coming back to us saying they were having difficulty in getting tested. It was they're finding it more and more difficult to get tested. And as the numbers of people kept telling us that, we decided, well, we'll have a go at doing the testing ourselves. The first one, we brought a team over from the mainland. They showed us what to do. And from that, it grew from a couple of tests a year to four tests a year to last year. We actually had to put an extra one on last year because the four tests were insufficient. We had so many extra people wanting to be tested. And this year it's grown again now, and we're up to six different test events around the island we're going to be running. We're really grateful for Terry and all the effort he makes and others that make for raising the finances, and also people that give us their venues for free. People like the local scout hut in Newport, which is what we'll be using, or the Masonic Lodge at Cowes, or the Tottenham Bowls Club, or the school at Ryde. These people are all giving us these venues for completely for free on an evening and the day after, so that we can run these events and test these men. And then, as you're saying, we have other members who are putting out banners around the place to try and remind men, remind families. I always think it's very interesting when we stand outside a supermarket and a couple come towards us, and I start talking to the bloke about, have you had a PSA test? And instantly you can see the lady take interest. So you then start talking to the lady about the situation, the numbers, how it's just a simple blood test, because all the men think it's going to be something else. It's not. There is no invasion there of their body.
Well, let's address that now, because we did that last time you came in, which was about a year or so ago. And people seem to think that you get a thumb that goes somewhere and you don't really want it there. And that doesn't happen. It's a blood test.
Absolutely.
That's all you have is a blood test. And then you find out. And what's the next stage then?
So after the blood test has been taken, we then send the files of blood over to QA Hospital in Portsmouth. They have an analysis of the blood and get a PSA, a prostate specific antigen number. That goes into the cloud, because already sitting in the cloud is the man's details with three or four questions that he's been asked personally to him, because this cancer is very, very much a hereditary nature to it. So that if your father's had it, the chances of the son getting it are greatly increased. But unfortunately, the girls don't get away with it either, because the BRCA gene has been discovered. The BRCA gene in prostate cancer is also there in breast cancer. So if the father has prostate cancer, not only the son at risk, but the daughter's at risk. And vice versa, if the mother's had breast cancer, that can put the son at risk as well. So we pass this sort of information on, which people just don't know about. It's a real worry, the lack of information that men in particular have about prostate cancer. There are too many pub jokes about prostate cancer and not enough serious discussion about a simple blood test being able to, first of all, release the worry that the family's got, because quite often the kids know a lot more than the dad does about this illness. And therefore, the worry they've got that their dad might be carrying this and not knowing, and they don't want to lose their dad. So there's all this not just physical worry, but mental worry, and then the worry, of course, the social economic levels, that if you've been diagnosed, it's a massive thing. And this particular cancer has far more impact than many of the other cancers on men. Men really have difficulty in coping with the thought of prostate cancer and the side effects, the side issues that come from the cancer, the treatment, everything that goes with it. But answering your question, after it's gone to the hospital, it then joins up with the information that the man has given. That goes to a urology consultant that we've employed on the mainland. He collects all this data, looks through it, and then makes a diagnosis. So there's a professional person that's looking at this and then sends each individual man his own personal result. And if it's a positive result, he'll actually send him a letter as well so that he's able to go to his local GP and say, look, there is this problem. I've got a high or abnormal result for the PSA. Can you follow it up, please?
Okay, I've got a load of questions. I don't really want to ask them all because I think we just need to simplify this lunchtime. I want to come back in a moment and ask, okay, you got some tests. How do we get them? That's one. I'm going to ask you that. But is there a better way of tackling a man to go and do what he should do? Because I think you just explained something that it must happen all the time, where you look into the lady's eyes and she's interested and the bloke's thinking, don't carry on, change the subject. How do we get blokes? I'm just thinking, you couldn't have a blood test down the pub, or you could, but you could say, right, you can only have a blood test before you have a drink. Is there a better way to get a man on side to get it done? You know, just get it done. Maybe do it at football. Maybe go to you're going to football matches, right? Okay, go and have this done. How long does it take? A couple of minutes? Five minutes?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, there must be a better way of getting a man on side. And I know you shouldn't have to try this hard, but maybe if it's a case of, well, okay, let's get big clubs to say, right, okay, you're going to put on some of these tests so that when you go and play, you watch Liverpool tonight, Real Madrid, turn up an hour earlier. You can be with all your mates. Don't have a drink until you've had this test. This is what's going on. That's one way around. But there must be a way where we can get guys on side where they don't feel like, only they can describe why they won't or don't.
There seems to be a lot of different reasons why they don't want to be tested. There's the reason of just not wanting to know. The feeling that if they don't know, then they can't, they won't get it. Especially if they've got no symptoms, they feel that therefore they're safe from not getting it. And quite often a man will argue against having that test to us while we're standing outside garden centres and supermarkets. And it's not until you actually then start talking about the fact that, okay, just have the test for your kids. Just have the test for your kids. You're going to get the result. What you do with the result is up to you. We're not going to tell the doctor. We're sending it to you. You can then decide what to do. But at least tell your children what your result is, so they've got a heads up. And that usually, I mean, what man doesn't love his kids, sort of thing. And that's usually the way around. If you can't get in with the sensible thing that you've got to 45, it should just be something it's a simple blood test just to make sure you're okay in that particular area is what you should do.
And it is a blood test. No one puts a thumb anywhere.
No. It's simple. Absolutely. I mean, we try to make a joke of it. We say, you know, we don't do rubber glove jobs here, sort of thing, is what we generally say to people, to try and keep it light. But no, we don't. It is a simple blood test. It takes a few seconds, feels like a scratch, and then the result will be sent to you in 3 or 4 days after it. What you're saying is really interesting because there are about only five or six other support groups on the mainland that are doing the sort of testing at the sort of level that we're doing it. And a number of those do use main stadiums. And so they turn up at 10 o'clock in the morning of match days. And they then have appointments. The blokes have appointments so they can turn up, they can have their blood test, and then they can go and have lunch in the facilities that are available, obviously, in these Premier League clubs and what have you, and then go and watch the game in the afternoon. And they are helped by the fact that the Premier League club gives them a venue, a facility, etc., for them to use it. So it has been picked up. It's much harder if you're a lower league team where you don't have those sort of facilities, because this is a medical procedure. This can't be something that you can just do sat in a field, somebody's coming along, whatever. This is a medical procedure, and we have to make sure that we're not contaminating any of the bloods or anything, that everything is being kept up to the levels that it should be done for this.
I've got an idea. Every club, every Premier League club, every league club in the country... must pick a date at some point in the year and say, instead of you can't come in without a COVID test, you can't come in unless you've had a test. You can't, and by the way, today is the day. So if you come in, or they say, we're going to give you a reduction. That'll get, if you're a football fan, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to work for everyone because there's a lot of people that don't like football, but it's a start, isn't it? Anyway, look, most importantly, there are men on the island now that can go and have a test at one of these venues across the Isle of Wight that's been paid for by the Lights. All you got to do is book. How do they book?
Okay, so they go onto our website, iwpcsg.org. I'll repeat it again in a minute. Go onto that website, and then a little black tag comes down saying PSA testing. You click onto that tag, it puts you onto our registration site. You then fill in, because obviously we've got to have details of who they are and how we can contact them. They fill in all the details onto that. Once they've completed that, they're put onto our booking site so they can pick up an appointment or pick an appointment. We have 15-minute appointments running through the 5 hours that we're testing for, so they can choose a time that's appropriate or good for them. And then once they've done that, they then get an email back saying, yep, okay, your time is such and such. That's your appointment time. We look forward to seeing you there.
Fantastic.
That simple.
And don't waste it.
Absolutely. iwpcsg.org. That's the put it into your Google or your search thing or your mobile phone. It'll appear on all of those. You can get it set. But or if you really have problem, like a man this morning phoned me up, I haven't got anything, I don't know how to do things, go to your library. They'll help you out.
Brilliant. Thank you for coming in. And you know, let's hope that they get them. How many have you got left? I mean, it's filling up, I would imagine.
So we have our first one's April the 15th. That is full with a waiting list of about 15 on top of the 275 already.
Okay.
The next one is in May, the end of May at Cowes. And when I looked this morning, there were already 64 people on that. So there's still spaces. That's still another 200 places. Once that gets filled, we'll then open our lake event up, and again people will be able to go on this site and put their names down for that. When that's filled, we'll open the next one after that, which is one at Totland, so it's the other side of the island, and people will be able to book their points to come in, and so on as it goes all the way through.
Brilliant. Thank you for coming in, I really appreciate it.
But now you can understand how I decided with my little Christmas lights, the money that I raise, I thought I would help and donate the money that we do collect from the lights to this charity. It is so fantastic and brilliant to try and help the men on the island. I'm not a Premier League or anything. I know my lights are quite good, but they don't come to any form of that standard. Well, I just always ask for a little bit of help myself, as is much ladies what knit little things for me to hang on the Christmas tree. Or I'm always asking for somebody who knows somebody who can help me with lights or anything. So I'm always asking for help, but all the money that I raise, it always goes to the charity.
And the lovely thing is, you've now got an incentive for the 24th year, haven't you? You can't give up now, can you?
Health, long as we're all okay and fit, we'll be doing something. I know the wife, Sue, will be listening to me right now, cringing, I expect. But, yes, I expect we'll be doing something.
Well, maybe at some point. Because, you don't get me wrong, you ain't getting any younger, are you?
Well, I'm 72 now, so put another year, I'll be 73.
Well,
so
there you go. Maybe someone can take up the mantle and carry this on.
Well, it'll be 24 years, so I'm always saying, will I get to my quarter of a century of doing Christmas lights?
Well, let's hope so. Don't say it like that. That's,
well, you just don't know.
Go and get yourself tested.
Hey, I've been several times.
Good.
And then hopefully we're all okay, all the numbers are good. But, yes, I think every man should. And you know, a lot of people have asked me why I've been doing the Christmas lights, and I've always said, go and get tested. It's only a blood test.
Honestly, well done. I think it's a fantastic amount of money.
And thank you.
Honestly, we didn't do much. we just flap our gums and we're not up there in all weathers putting lights up and so on, and your wife pulling your hair out and you pulling your hair out and so on. I mean, you've raised all this money and it's doing some absolutely wonderful work with it. So I just think that's fantastic. So well done, the pair of you. But, you know, keep it going.
And we hope to see you come to our next one on November the 4th in Newport.
It's a sellout, you said, wasn't it?
No, not November the 4th. Is that nice try? Nice try, but no, we haven't opened that one yet, and you can't, you know, it's still coming.
And it won't be free.
No. I'll book that today. What was the address again?
IWPCSG.org.
Right. I'm doing that today.
Well, you won't be able to do the Newport one today because that I won't open until August time. If you want to come to Cowes, that one is open and got places.
Okay, yeah, I'll do the Newport one. You let me know when drop me a text and I'll sort that out. Definitely. Thank you though. I mean, it makes it sound like I'm doing you a big favour. That's not the case, is it? You're doing me one. So well, thank you.
But the thing is, that's what everybody seems to think. But it is your own life you're trying to save.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the basis of it all. You're not doing anyone else a favour. You're doing yourself that favour.
Absolutely
right.
Because
it could be your own life, your family.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And there's 30 people. They've found out that there are 30 people linked with every one of us. Every person has got a 30 people, a circle around them of family, friends, mates, colleagues and what have you. And all of those will be affected by the fact if you've got this or how late it is or whether you've caught it early, because treatment nowadays, catch it early, treatment nowadays is very, very effective, which is what we keep saying. Come along, even though you've not got any symptoms, still come along if you're over 45 to get tested.
Thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate your time and good luck with the lives.
Thank you.